Adam Obenauer. Welcome to CAPO.
Thank you.
Adam Obenauer is the Retail Organizing Director of the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union, RWDSU. This is the union that is waging a David versus Goliath battle against Amazon in Bessemer, Alabama. There, the workers are voting on whether or not to join the union. This will be only the second time in Amazon's history that workers have organized to the point of holding an election, and it is the first time that a huge Amazon fulfillment center, like the one in Bessemer, that employs upward of 6,000 workers, has had a union election. Now, it goes against stereotype that this first major challenge to Amazon is taking place in the South. But if you know the history of RWDSU and of Bessemer, Alabama, it explains why this awe-inspiring effort is happening there. So, Adam, tell us a bit about this history.
Thanks for having me. And our union, the RWDSU, has been a mainstay in the South, I mean, predominantly in Alabama, for a long period of time. And back in the time period, the 60s, you know, our union was involved in the civil rights struggle, specifically in Alabama, was part of the Selma March, and was part of a lot of the Poor People's Campaign back then. And so our union has regularly been part of social struggles in the South and in Alabama, and is very familiar with organizing in the area, you know. And I think that while you see some people be surprised by the first Amazon facility that has a real chance here to unionize is in Alabama, we don't really feel that way. We feel like it's been a hotbed for years and years and years of both civil rights organizing, racial justice organizing, right, and labor organizing. And so, you know, when you look at Alabama, it is among one of the higher states that are unionized in the South, for sure. And we think that it makes sense that the workers are outraged and ready to organize in the state.
Tell us a little bit about how this all got started. I understand that it began last summer in the context of the Black Lives Matter uprising, that some workers at the facility came to the union.
Yeah, so workers did come to the union. You know, our union in the South also represents a lot of poultry food processing and manufacturing plants. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, when it really started to hit, we as a union and our members of the union had to fight back against specific things that were not okay, right? The CDC recommendations that were not being followed, and social distancing parameters that were not being followed in some of the plants. And so we had a lot of media around that, trying to push employers to actually respect the law. We were successful in many ways, and I think the Amazon workers that first came to the union hall, that's kind of how they heard about it, right? They saw that we were in the news. We also have been around for a bit, and so it just made sense. And so Amazon workers came to the union hall and said, hey, how do we get a union? How do we go from non-union to union? Mm-hmm. And so yeah, we started having some meetings with folks. That's where it started. Where we are now is an entirely different place with thousands of workers that have gotten engaged with the whole unionizing effort. But it definitely came from a small handful of workers that wanted to make a change.
It went really fast. So your first step was to get workers to sign cards saying that they were interested in having a union. And you apparently had some help from the poultry workers themselves who came to work with the campaign.
Yeah. What we ended up doing was we had a lot of poultry workers specifically, but also other warehouse workers in Alabama that are members of the union. And we did a training program for our members to do external organizing. You know, these are folks that in Right to Work Alabama are regularly doing union orientations and signing up their coworkers on dues authorization cards because of the nature of Right to Work states. And so they're very familiar with internal organizing and how to build power in their own work sites. And so what we did was we took some of these folks out of the poultry plant for a period of time to talk about their experience and organize the workers. We also believe that that's why we've been successful to the degree that we have, because it's very different for a member who is currently a part of the union, who pays dues to the union, who's excited about the union, and who has helped with grievance processes and helped get workers back to work that have lost their jobs as shop stewards for our union, they're better off explaining that process to workers who don't have a union because they experience it in their day-to-day work life. And this is something that I think unions have done for a long time, but maybe we should do more of, is train our current membership to be invested as well into growing the union, because if we grow the union, we're also more powerful to take on the employers that everyone works at that are represented by the union when it comes contract time. And so that's kind of the theory that we had with this campaign, was to get our membership engaged and involved, because we feel that it's the most appropriate way to unionize. And the hearing from workers themselves is obviously great. And when you can hear that workers that are part of the union actually enjoy paying dues because it makes sense to them, and that dues are not legal in Alabama, which is a big misinformation piece Amazon's been pushing out, they're the best mouthpieces for that.
Yeah, that was really impressive to me. I think that worker self-organization creates powerful union militancy and capacity, clearly. One of the things that I think is important to talk about here is poultry plants are difficult places to work in, and I think people understand that, but Amazon is this kind of high-tech sweatshop. Can you talk a little bit about some of the issues that brought the Amazon workers to you?
Sure. The idea that $15 an hour is enough for every worker that does backbreaking work at a fulfillment center like one of these is very much a myth. I think that some people feel that it is decent, but a lot of workers do not. And when you look at specific minimum wage, you know, the fight for 15 and minimum wage is being pushed up to 15, that also doesn't mean that the richest employer in the world should be paying 15. It doesn't mean that workers shouldn't be getting some form of hazard pay that they were getting for a period of time but was taken away. The pandemic's still happening, and no one necessarily expected the pandemic to happen this long. But the fact that it has, you know, certain employers did project some type of hazard pay, and they've taken it away. And so I would say that pay is definitely a motivator for a large portion of workers at the Amazon Fulfillment Center. There's also a lot of stuff that Amazon does to track workers.
Yeah. I've heard about that. It's this thing called the time off task, and where they monitor your every movement.
Yeah, so time off task is really when you step away from your workstation. These are low lift facilities that have many, many boxes. You basically have repetitive motion. You know, you turn around, you pick up the box, you put it on the belt, and press the button when it's ready to go. Once you walk away from your station, you start getting what's called TOT time, like you mentioned. And so some workers are really frustrated by this because their bathroom times are monitored. Obviously, their breaks are monitored. You clock out for your lunch break and you have your 15-minute break. But the point is, overall, they're constantly monitored. So let's just say you're not doing well one day, you're not feeling that well, you go to the bathroom a little bit too much. Your numbers are going to be reflective of that, and you're going to have a high TOT time. And that's frustrating, right? That level of stress and anxiety that is created.
Is there a penalty for high TOT time? In other words, are you penalized at some point if you have too much?
Yes, it is definitely an offense that is a write-up. I would say that a lot of workers do get written up for too much TOT time. Also, one of the major issues is this is a very automated facility in the sense that you have an app called A to Z, and you know, you have your manager listed on your app, and then you get written up through the app a lot. So workers will just get a write-up directly to their phone with no meeting from management.
Right.
No HR meeting, nothing. You know, you can call HR and ask for a remedy to it, which puts you down this long road of trying to get in touch with someone. Tons of complaints about HR in general, that they just give you the runaround and steer you in different directions. And that's part of the frustration that workers have, too. Not enough paid time off.
Sorry to cut you off. This is one of the reasons that having a union grievance procedure is such an important issue here for workers organizing, right? That they have some just cause system where they just aren't disciplined by a machine, for God's sake.
Right, 100%. I mean, and also there are workers that, for example, you're a woman and you work at this facility, right, and you get pregnant. And we've had multiple workers tell us that they've been written up because they were pregnant and they had too much TOT time, and then they call HR. They can't really get to HR. They get the runaround. They don't get a clear answer. Their write-ups don't get removed. It's a mess. It's just a mess. And that's what we've been telling people. A grievance procedure gives you a seat at the table and levels the playing field for what management currently is doing. We're not a union that is selling anything to the workers. We're just explaining the process and what unionization will do to benefit you. You know, the workers themselves become the union. They are the union, and therefore that's what we're trying to get across to everybody, that democracy at work is the biggest fear that Amazon has, not the union meddling with affairs as some third party that they're trying to paint us as.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how when Amazon got wind of the fact that you were trying to organize workers to sign cards, they had a very big response. Can you talk about some of the things that Amazon did to intimidate the people there?
Yeah, sure. For starters, like you mentioned, a lot of workers got engaged in a very short period of time. And so Amazon flooded what we call flooding the unit. When we were organizing the workers, we had a universe of workers that we had from their public press that they've done and the subsidies that they did, that they got and they received for their work, their workers they were going to hire, which was 1,500. We assumed that the facility was higher than that because we were talking to so many workers, but Amazon then hired 3,000 workers to put into the unit. Part of that is because it's their understanding that newer workers that just get hired are going to have a honeymoon period and are not going to be that agitated. What we witnessed and why we are where we are is that workers were signing up to join the union even on their first week as they were getting hired because they understand unions to be good. I would say that in Birmingham and in Bessemer, there's a very good impression of unions. People historically think unions are positive that live in this community, and there's a good overall sense of what a union can do. And I think that was something Amazon didn't necessarily expect. So what they then did was what you're explaining, which was the pushback. And the pushback is severe. It's extreme. I like to say every employer gets a union busting package when they have a union campaign. And it's called either labor avoidance or labor education packages. And I would say Amazon bought the platinum package, the most expensive one. The one that includes the website, doitwithoutdues.com. It includes the handouts that they've had created that encourage workers to vote against the union and have complete misinformation about the union itself. It is the life-size posters saying, do it without dues, unions can't, we can, all throughout the fulfillment center. It's everything that they're doing, including these mandatory labor classes where they're telling workers why the union is bad, why they just want to steal your money, and you should vote against the union. And so they are doing all of it. Most workers have gone through between 5 and 10 of these classes. The interesting part here is you were just mentioning TOT time. Workers aren't penalized for attending these classes. They're not penalized for that. And all of a sudden, there's just so much time that Amazon has to train workers on their what they're calling labor rights or busting the union. But when it comes down to it, in a regular day for Amazon, they have no time for even a few minutes of you being off your task. So it just shows you how much they're investing in the union busting.
I understood, too, that they put flyers up in the bathroom stalls, and somebody said at eye level above the urinals. I thought that was pretty...
Yeah, it's thorough, it's dystopian in many ways, you know? It's very much like a 1984 kind of Orwellian.
Right. Big Brother is watching you everywhere. This was an all-out press by Amazon, but amazingly, you got, I don't know, something like 3,000 people to sign cards.
Yeah.
A quote I read that I thought was really great from the Western Alabama Labor Council president, and he said something like, I can't tell you how many times we heard, my mother told me if I didn't sign this card, she's going to kick my ass. He said, we heard that from uncles, grandparents, cousins. That's the spirit of Bessemer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that
definitely.
That implies that there was a real community base for workers organizing.
Absolutely.
You are listening to KBOO Radio, 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. Johanna Brenner here for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm speaking with Adam Obernauer, Retail Organizing Director for the Retail Warehouse and Department Store Union, about the epic struggle to win a union election at one of Amazon's gigantic fulfillment centers in Bessemer, Alabama. We were talking about how Amazon pulled out all the stops to prevent warehouse workers from signing cards for the union, but you won and they lost. Now you have to win the election. How are you organizing workers to vote yes?
It's a great question. Thank you. We are organizing with the workers. We have our committee. They're getting their vote out. They're talking to their coworkers to get the vote out, to vote for the union. We are maintaining a positive messaging. You know, Amazon's continuing to hammer negativity. They're continuing to tell workers that they've been divided and that the union has divided them. We're looking back to why the workers came to us to unionize in the first place, which is to improve the working conditions at the workplace and also to improve the community. Amazon and Bessemer, it employs 6,000 workers, and Bessemer's not a huge, huge area. And so the amount of workers that would be impacted by better working conditions will actually go back into the local communities, which is part of what workers are talking about, too. I would say that your point that you made earlier, too, on the community, there's a lot of history in Alabama and in Bessemer of union organizing. And people's families, their aunts, their uncles, their parents are a huge component in why they're supporting the union. And I would say that that has a lot to do with both the labor roots and also the racial justice roots and the struggle that people have faced in the community of both Birmingham and Bessemer. This is a unique and resilient group of workers, and they are fighting back in a way that I think is just impressive. And so I would say that we are getting the vote out and we're trying to maintain our positive messaging. We have a lot of organizations and people that are going to encourage workers to vote for the union. We just had Stacey Abrams on Saturday give a statement and speak to the workers virtually saying that she supports the union and the democratic right to vote for the union, which I think is really powerful. And we're going to continue to do that as Amazon continues their negative tirade and makes workers fearful of even standing up for the union. We're going to try to push through that light with positivity.
One last point. There was a very big struggle over the last few years in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The UAW tried to organize a VW plant there, and they faced incredible opposition, not so much from the company, but from politicians, from the state legislature. The governor of Tennessee came and talked to them about why they shouldn't join a union and how it would kill the economy of Tennessee. Are you facing that kind of opposition in Bessemer, or politically are you in a better shape there?
Well, I would say that a lot of people keep their distance on criticizing Amazon because of how powerful they are. And I think that is definitely something that we recognize and we try to be conscious of when we're looking for support. I would also say, though, that there have been specific politicians that have been incredibly helpful. I just mentioned Stacey Abrams. You know, I think that her coming out in favor of the union effort for us is something we expected. But it's also great to see, especially after what we saw happen in Georgia, you know, a few months ago. And so I think that that matters for sure. Your obvious people like a Bernie Sanders have been incredibly helpful. And I think, though, that in the overall scheme of things on a local level, we are continuing to try our best to work with anyone that will work with us on things, especially on Amazon, you know, of course, and the support we can use right now. But I would say that we have faced some barriers in some areas of the political spectrum, for sure.
But not the kind of full-on press that the UAW faced in Tennessee, it sounds like. And maybe that's because of the history of Birmingham in the Birmingham area, both politically and in terms of movements. Let's end with talking about how folks out here can support the Amazon Workers Campaign. I know you have a site where people can send messages of solidarity. And is there anything else we can do?
Well, for starters, I'd say we are likely at some point going to do call-outs for national solidarity. There was, of course, the great events that were put on February 20th, which
we just went here.
Yeah, I mean, many cities all over, right? It's just so impressive. And we definitely feel this energy also in Alabama, but also around the nation, the awakening that we see. And I would say that how people can help out, check our website at amazonunion.org. We will probably have some updates that regular folks that are not working at Amazon can do to help, and we'll do call-outs when that happens. And again, moving forward, there will probably be a big contract fight here. So this is just the beginning. It's starting in right outside Birmingham in Bessemer, Alabama, and it's the beginning of what we will probably hope to see as workers resisting the continual treatment that they're facing under a pandemic. We're looking towards that into the future, and we're more than happy to direct folks on things that they can do. As of right now, it would be follow us on social media at Bamazon Union, at both Twitter, on Facebook, if you have either of those, and also at our website at bamazonunion.org.
Adam Openhour, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. More than happy to update y'all whenever you want.
That's great. We're rooting for you out here. All the best.
Thanks so much.